This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast, brought to you this week by BetOnline.ag. My name is Josh, I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
What a mess this season is, Josh. I mean, Mane injury, now this weather postponement of City West Ham. Is this season cursed?
It's a weird one. I was thinking about this as we were like setting up to record, and I was just thinking, like, if this was my first year playing... If this is your first year playing fantasy or the first year taking it seriously or whatever, I really have to reassure you that it's not normally like this. It is very, a lot of unusual things have happened this year, I would say. Even things like that we've kind of forgotten about, like Son, who I think was the most captained player back in December, getting a red card in the 70th minute. You know, triple captains don't normally get injured 30 minutes into a double game week. Matches don't get postponed very often. It's like all of these very unusual things have happened this year. And so, it's a funny one. I think you said a while ago that it's like, it kind of feels like work a little bit this year. And I don't know, it's not obviously like you're kidding a little bit, but like, I do feel like I've had to like pay attention to stuff, the fact that you try to follow when this Man City West Ham match is going to get replayed, for example, which as of Sunday night, when we're recording this, we don't know when it's going to be. And it's like, you like do a deep dive, like you learn so much about like network night holds and like all of these like windows of time that might be available. And you're like a minors in sports business or something like that.
I think it's a slice of what it's like to go into the like flat earther corners of the internet I study chemtrails. Chemtrails appeared over London Stadium earlier today.
Yeah.
Some weird, just like off the rails, deep state things happening with FPL this season.
Totally. And, I guess it's been entertaining. Like, it's been an interesting season, but it's definitely been wild. I mean, John Lundstrom coming out as a sub and scoring. Like, it's there's a lot happening, Brandon, right now. Mm-hmm. So, last week I told you I was not going to do any more sour grapes, that I was going to let everybody have their fun. And then John Lundstrom scored near the end of that Sheffield United match, and it was all out the window, Brandon. I went online and told every John Lundstrom owner that they had a two-outer on the river, and I just could not help myself. As soon as I tweeted it, I immediately regretted it, and then I was like, no, you have to own this. You have to own your snark and just deal with it. So, it was just a weird game week. I mean, obviously, only three matches.
I have played poker with you when you have actually called me out for giving you a bad beat. And I know you do not like a bad beat. And that's just, you have to take your licks sometimes. Luck will play into it.
I know it's important for listeners to know that I am both I'm a bad loser and I'm a bad winner. It's a bad combination. It really is, Brandon. So this week's theme, we're only 3/10 into the game week. We can't really preview game week 27, it's 2 weeks away.
It's so far away.
yeah, we have six or possibly seven matches still to play, depending on when Man City actually plays their postponed West Ham match. I suppose it is Man City and West Ham who are playing in that match. I keep referring to the Man City match because that's what, you know, people tend to have Man City assets, but you know, there's a lot of matches still to get played, and so we decided to change the theme around a little bit this week, and it's Ask Us Anything. So we have a bunch of questions about we do a lot of fantasy questions for sure, but a lot of questions about you know, and I like clubs we support, our favorite movie from 2020. So we're gonna front load it with the fantasy stuff at the top. So if you're only in it for the pure fantasy discussion, then you can just stop it at the whatever minute mark that may be. And from there, mm-hmm. it's going to get weird. Okay. And you just get ready for it or turn it off. I don't know. You know, that still counts as a download. That's fine. You know, you can stop whenever you want. But yeah, so that's where we're going.
Hey, and a quick announcement before we really get started here. The big news is that the Always Cheating listener meetup happening in London has been officially announced. Josh and I are going to be in England starting March 5th, we're going to catch a lot of matches during game week 29. But on Friday, March 6th, we are hosting our listeners and anyone from the FPL community that wants to come out and hang out with other FPL geeks. We're going to be at the Coin Laundry. That's in the neighborhood in London of Farringdon on 70 Exmouth Market. Mm-hmm. I'm not from around those parts, Josh. So, so Friday, March 6th, we're going to kick things off around 7 p.m. We're going to be at the Coin Laundry all evening. There's no charge to get in or anything like that. So just swing by if you want to have a beer with us, hang out and chat FPL.
Yep. And we actually have matches confirmed for that weekend as well now. We are confirmed to be going to Arsenal West Ham on Saturday. We'll be going to the Manchester Derby on Sunday. And thank you. I don't want to name any names because I know sometimes tickets and stuff, it's kind of it's a little different in the UK than it is in the US. It's a little more closely guarded. So thank you to the people who have helped us go to some of these matches. We'll be going to the Leicester Aston Villa match as well on Monday night. So three matches in 3 days, a little travel involved as well. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. So as you mentioned, there's virtually nothing to talk about as far as score checks for game week 26. But let's touch quickly upon where we are after three matches played. 4 points for me, Joshua. Mm-hmm. I made one move, and this is probably one of the more boneheaded moves I think I've made all season, but I made a goalkeeper transfer. I was just kind of sick of looking at Matt Ryan. I mean, I had a lot of experiences with Matt Ryan early on the season, but he's outstayed his welcome. He had to go.
Yeah.
It was that siren call to the rocky shores of Henderson going up in price by 0.1. And I said, well, the time is now. Uh-huh. Yep. So I brought in Henderson and got a 2-pointer from him, equaled Matt Ryan's takeaway. The big excitement for me was during the Everton match when Theo Walcott. So Sidibe, I've had Sidibe for about a month now, and it hasn't done a whole lot for me. Sidibe doesn't start. Theo Walcott goes down with a knee injury around the 25-minute mark.
Glorious
there was this
moment.
Hilariously, it was very stressful. It was glorious, yes, but it was for a moment stressful where I don't know if you saw Sidibe forgot one of his socks. So mm-hmm. he was ready to check yes. onto the pitch.
Ancelotti
and then
was
he
so
realizes
mad.
He only has one sock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could totally see Ancelotti saying, you know what, we're putting in Alex Iwobi.
Yep.
But Sidibe made it onto the pitch. They immediately conceded, of course, from Christian Benteke. Jordan Pickford, just like a howler machine these days. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know
See,
what's
and
going
people,
on with
just,
him, but
a quick side note here. People wonder how we can watch so many matches. And for example, I was on vacation this weekend, and typically, you know, I was actually visiting some family this weekend, and typically that's not a great time to watch matches, but this is, you know, there are only two matches on this weekend, and this one came out at 7:30 in the morning. So I was actually able to quietly watch this on an iPad before anyone else got up. And so that was, you know, these 7:30 ones are kind of great for, that's where the iPad was basically invented to watch, English Premier League matches in the US while everyone else is sleeping on your iPad.
Yeah, I love the iPad, the secret surreptitious iPad watch. So that's just Sidibe and Henderson for me. Lundstrom is second on my bench. So even if the Man City West Ham match isn't played, Cantwell's going to come in for KDB. Lundstrom's 7-pointer is going to stay on my bench.
Yeah.
I do not have Aguero to contend with Salah my captain. Mm-hmm. You also have Salah captain, but you don't have Lundstrom at all anymore.
No, I mean, I dropped him because I needed to. I mean, I needed to make a defensive swap. I mean, you know, it's like I just didn't think he was going to start, and he didn't. And he came on with 25 minutes left, and he scored. I mean, it was a gamble that I was willing to take. That, you know, he came in even a little earlier than I was expecting him to. He'd been coming on a little bit later, but he'd been coming on as a sub. But he's really basically lost his place in that squad. Maybe he gets it back now that he scored this goal. I don't know. I don't think
Berg really impressed at all during the match.
But he's a record signing for them, though. I mean, I'm sure he's going to, you know, more times than not, he's going to be starting that match. I mean, I don't think, you know, I mean, they didn't shell out that much money, but for them to shell out any money is for a club of their size, I feel like they're kind of committed probably to playing him. Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, who knows? Chris Wilder doesn't seem like the kind of guy who really cares about how much money anybody's worth. So, you know,
except for Chris Wilder.
Yeah. But you have Besic too, right? And so you basically have three players all competing for the same spot. It's always a bummer to transfer out a goal scorer. But we'll see. I ended up bringing in Stevens. I didn't bring in a Sheffield United. I didn't do a like for like swap. So at least I can hold out hope as we record that it'll work out okay in the end.
Stevens, not Edna.
Stevens. Yeah, exactly. Just Steve Fens with the PH. Right. And so I would do one question for you, though. I mean, because you brought in Henderson as your keeper, does that lock you into wildcarding before game week 28? Because he doesn't have a fixture in game week 28. So you would either go with no keeper or it puts you in a tough spot.
Yeah, it does put me in a tough spot. I think when I made the move, my feeling was I was going to wild card, but I'm still just not convinced, especially now with this Man City West Ham fixture being up in the air. And, you know, now we could have an interesting double game week scenario earlier rather than later with Man City. So there are all sorts of temptations to hold off on the wild card. Mm-hmm. I do have 0.8 in the bank. So worst case scenario, I have to turn my non-playing goalkeeper on the bench into somebody like McCarthy for Southampton. And I think that's probably what I'm going to end up doing, which is hilarious that I end up making two goalkeeper transfers in the span of like three game weeks. It's not exactly what you want.
Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the three matches were so tempting for Henderson, this one next week's and game week 29, I believe. So, I mean, I feel like I got kind of lucky. That Callum Wilson goal came nice and early and sort of took some of the stress out of that match a little bit. I could certainly handle a Dan Egan assist and bonus point. So, the Lundstrom goal was annoying, but whatever. I mean, 7 points. It wasn't like he scored 19 or something like that, you know? So,
sounds like you're over it.
I'm fine. Yeah, don't worry about me. So the West Ham Man City match, as we mentioned at the top of the pod, we don't know what's going on. Shout out to our friend AJ, who triple captained Aguero with Kevin De Bruyne vice captain. Ouch, that's a lot of eggs in one canceled match basket, Brandon.
Too many, one might say. We got a question from Ryan. I thought this was brilliant. Can FPL give us a vice captain option? I captained Aguero with KDB as my vice. And I was thinking instead of a vice captain, maybe it's like a secretary of education or something like that, and you assign that chip to
I just like the idea player. That every game week you've got to rank your players from 1 to 15. So where the line of succession is, you know, like where did the Speaker of the House falls in that whole thing. So
isn't that how Oscar ballots are working this year? It's sort of like
ranked choice. Yeah, exactly.
I also just wanted to quickly shout out Algero, who asked the question, which of the three Everton goals against Palace was Brandon's favorite? I guess I really came out really hot against Everton on last week's podcast.
And we haven't had hate mail like this in a while, Brandon. It really, they came in hard for you.
Yeah, I have to stand by my opinions, and, you know, Everton just aren't my favorite club right now. But I will admit that maybe I was seething a little too much, and it was kind of unjustified, given I think Everton are second in the form table for the calendar year of 2020. So, you know, all respect to Everton, and I love Everton fans. I've never been a bad Everton fan. I've just seen a lot of bad Everton managers and players that, who I don't like.
Yeah, I think it's probably this, you know, Sidibe not really working out as a transfer. I think that colors your perspective a little bit. I mean, it reminds me of this fall when I was complaining about Wolves being in the Europa League, and I was like, oh, what a waste, you know, all these matches, can you believe they have to waste their time in the Europa League? And all these Wolves fans were responding to us like, hey, you know, I think it's awesome and I'm really excited and I think it's very cool that Wolves are doing this and that they're competing in this, and like, I, you know, I haven't had a lot of chances. And it's those moments where you're like, oh right, of course, like, of course you're excited about this, like, you know, like, you know, if you don't have like a fantasy podcast, you know, you don't see everything through that lens, you know. And so it's just kind of cool. Or like with, you know, Everton fans are like, hey, at least we're winning some matches finally, you know, like, you know. So you know, I think fantasy can color your perspective too much sometimes, for sure.
All right, a quick shout out for our Patreon page. If you want to say thanks to me and Josh and support what we do at Always Cheating, just swing by patreon.com/always cheating. You can check out what we're offering there, an exclusive extra podcast every week, t-shirts, extra leagues, our Slack channel, which is always bumping. Big thanks to our new Patreon supporters this week at the Lord Sorloth tier: Tom Irwin, Daniel Briggs, Alex Rosinski, and Jason Conway. And at the Pookie patron tier, it's Alex Cruden. So yeah, again, that website is patreon.com/always cheating.
All right, Brian, we're going to take a break and we're going to get back and people can ask us anything. All right, Brian, we're back. It's an unusual, very unusual game week, and we're going to do things a little bit differently. This one podcast, just one time, one-off podcast, Brandon, where people can ask us anything. Yeah. And so we're going to do lots of fantasy, but then we have a few other questions as well to come later on. So we're going to kick things off, though, with our betonline.ag listener question of the week. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the code BLUEWIRE, all in one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. Here's that question, Brandon. FPL Kramer says, choose one. Win all of FPL this season. All right, so finished number one overall, Magnus Carlsen style. Yeah. I guess he didn't finish that way, but he made it there once. But never play, pod, or interact with the fantasy community ever again, or continue to play FPL and never, ever finish inside the top 100K.
Wow, okay. So either I win all of FPL and never touch FPL again, or I am resigned to a life of FPL mediocrity.
Right.
I feel like I have to go for the life of mediocrity. I mean, I kind of live a life of mediocrity as it is, but, 100K, that's like the perfect benchmark that, has me to decide what kind of life I want to live, because that is generally my, that's pretty much most people's like sort of bare minimum of what they want to achieve achieve in an FPL season.
And I was just gonna say, like, in our personal mini leagues, if you finish like 101K, you're probably finishing in the money, you know, like that's so, you know, you could still, you might not win our league, but you could still, you know, if that matters at all, you know, you could still you can get into that. Maybe you value head-to-head more, Brandon. Maybe you become a head-to-head expert on fantasy.
I mean, we're so addicted to FPL at this point. Even if you got all the thrill and all the accolades from winning, and as Kramer says here, we can't podcast anymore. So it's not like we could have Always Cheating, the podcast with whoever won FPL one season. We can't do that. We're out. And I can't imagine watching the Premier League and not having fantasy in the back of my mind. There are certainly good weeks and bad weeks, but I couldn't
hard to pull yourself out. Yeah, I'm with you completely, 100%. I also, I mean, finishing number one isn't like really like a goal of mine, you know? It's not something I ever think about doing. It's not anything I've...
How good do you think it would actually feel? Like, you finished number one. I'm having a hard time thinking of like the euphoric feeling that would be. I feel like it's such a long season. I just feel like a bit of a letdown.
I feel like you'd feel incredible, like crushing stress the last, especially like if you were me, like where we would have to like talk about it for an hour every week on the pod, like that would be so incredibly stressful. does just mean we're afraid of success, Brandon? I don't know what that means. But I'm totally with you. Give me 101K every season and I'll keep enjoying fantasy. That sounds perfect.
All right, there you have it. Remember to use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. All right, let's get into more Ask Us Anything questions. This next question comes from FPL Size, who wants to know, Josh, have you ever felt resentment having to do the podcast? Do you find the time difference makes it easier or harder to play FPL? So are we at the point here with Always Cheating where we resent the podcast week to week? It takes away from some of the fun of just being your day-to-day FPL manager?
No, never. Surprise. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hard to do a podcast when you've had a really, really bad game week. That's for sure. And I think, I mean, I'm just being, I'll be, you know, completely honest here. I mean, you know, I think the fall can be kind of stressful too, like the first, especially like in the preseason, because usually, you know, you're trying to like wrap personal vacations and, you know, the season starts in like the August, you know, and so it can be a little tricky. Like that's a huge vacation month. So then it's a little harder because that's also the time when you're trying to get people to listen to the pod, you know? So yeah, the short answer is no. I mean, last week we recorded during the Super Bowl, this week we're recording during the Academy Awards, and it's you just sort of find, you know what, I can miss all that stuff and I don't really care, you know, and it's sort of you just make it a priority.
Yeah. And not to mention there were 7 years in which we podcasted usually while Game of Thrones was going on. So right. We're no strangers to ditching other pieces of popular culture that we might want to enjoy or consume just to do the podcast.
Yeah. We've got DVRs.
It's just, you know, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it sure is. And the time difference, I think, I think it makes it harder just because in order to get any breaking news, you have to get up before 6:30 a.m. On a Saturday morning, you know. And so if you've been out the night before, you know, good luck. And now that teams are like leaking, now the team sheets are leaking a lot more than they used to, it would be even more valuable to have that extra time. I also think I also have been, you know, because you typically do have to make your transfers before you go to bed, I have been, you know, you can't sort of in the UK, you know, you can wake up or, you know, have your breakfast, think things through a little bit. But in the US, it's like, I'm often like three drinks in and I'm like, all right, screw it. Let's do this. You know, and you, so, I mean, I know you've done this before as well. The late night drunken transfer is a very big thing in America.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, you know, in some ways it helps too. I mean, I think it helps, being in the U.S. is like we have a slightly different perspective on things maybe too. And it's a little easier to be objective. You know, neither you or me, we're never going to have the kind of team where we like don't have anybody from Liverpool because we just hate Liverpool so much. You know, it's just not.
Yeah.
There's too much distance, you know, across the pond, I think, for that to be. We don't feel that hatred as much, you know.
All right, Josh, here's another question for you. This one is from Pushkar Kulkarni, who wants to know, since FPL is giving us nightmares the last couple of game weeks, like with Mane and this City West Ham situation, tell us your worst nightmares from previous years of playing FPL. Anything stick out in your memory?
Yeah.
Just like things gone terribly wrong with FPL?
Yeah. And the one that stands out for me is it was like a season long nightmare where I refused to bring in Yaya Toure the season where he scored 20 goals. Because I just couldn't buy it. I just didn't think that Yaya Toure was a 20 goal scorer, and he continued to score. It was like if Etienne Capoue just didn't stop. I mean, obviously he's a better player than him, but it was like, and I mean, Yaya Toure had certainly scored many goals in the past as well, but Yaya Toure is not a goal scorer, right? He's a box to box midfielder who, you know, will occasionally score a goal. You know, it's like if, Who is the modern equivalent of Yaya Toure? It's like Gundogan or something, right? If Gundogan was just like scored 20 goals in a season, you know, and you're like, how is this happening? What is going on here? You know, he wasn't on pens even. It was just like this crazy thing. And I just refused to bring him in while everyone else did. And it just crushed me. And it's sort of like that was my worst ever finish by far. And I was like, I just stubbornly held on all year thinking it was going to end. So what about you? What stands out for you?
Yeah, I was thinking about this recently with the Mane triple captain debacle and how I had played the triple captain on Leroy Sané two seasons ago when
Yeah, one season ago.
City had a really enticing double game week, and Sané didn't start either of the two matches, and he ended up just getting 1 point. And I remember the last fixture of that double game week for City was a midweek one where we in New York, we would have both been at work at our desks. And I had Laporte in my team, and he had gotten a clean sheet and also scored a goal. So it was a great haul from him. And you G-chatted me and you're like, well, at least Laporte. And I was just seething mad. And it's like, at least you can you see what happened with my beautiful triple captainship? It's all blown up. Everything is terrible. And I couldn't accept it.
No, I was probably trying to needle you a little bit too.
We do have a long history of needling each other.
it's not healthy.
All these nightmares kind of blend together for me. I mean, I'm sure I've had like 10 to 20 absolute nightmares in the last 10 seasons or so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, longtime listeners will bring up my Johan Cabaye transfer, which definitely haunted me for like a good 6 weeks or so, a couple of seasons ago. All right. So let's move on to the next question, though. Benny Blanco says, what was it that first got you into football? By the way, there's really like no FPL questions. Are there? There's not a lot to talk about. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the next game week. Benny Blanco says, what was it that first got you into football? How much do you think the game has grown in the U.S.? He says, I remember traveling the West Coast in 2005, desperately trying to find somewhere that was showing the Man United Arsenal FA Cup final, and nobody cared. So, yeah, Brendan, we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before, but what was it that first got you into the Premier League in particular?
The Premier League was definitely Fox World Sports or something like that. And there was a host he hosted what was basically Match of the Day. And they showed it on this deep cable, like Fox Ocho channel. And it was hosted by this, you know, generic middle America sportscaster named Lionel Bienvenu. I mean, it doesn't sound very generic with a name like that, but his presentation was awesome. And like Match of the Day, they just showed you the best bits of every match. And it's just like, damn, this league is amazing. But if I think about just how I cracked the code on becoming an actual football fan, I more like telling the story of Marcelo Balboa's failed bicycle kick in World Cup 94. Mm-hmm. The U.S. was playing Colombia, and that's a legendary match for many different reasons. One that you forget is that there was a corner kick, and Marcelo Balboa, who was the center back for the U.S., connected on a beautiful picture-perfect bicycle kick, and the ball just went right over the just barely over the crossbar. And it was one of those moments where you realize, oh, soccer, football, this is – it can be awesome even when things don't go exactly right. Hmm. I mean, if somebody misses a three-point shot in basketball – that's gone and
thrilling.
Forgotten. And you don't sort
that's
of,
true.
Yeah.
James Harden misses like 18 of them a game. It is definitely not thrilling.
Yeah. How about you? What was your entree into the sport?
Well, mine isn't particularly interesting, but it was our producer patron and I, Trevor Ingerson, moved in together as roommates. We were in our 20s and we got a cable hooked up. We got really good cable just because we were both single in our 20s and had nothing else to do. And so but they were showing so we just had this time in our hands. And so we just started to get up early on Saturday and watch matches. And, we kind of got the bug. And this was, I don't know, like 10, 11 years ago now. And and I just got the bug right away. I mean, I was just, completely hooked from the very start and kind of hooked in that way where I know some people are like this. Some people listening will understand this, but when I get hooked on something, I'm like, I become like a Wikipedia maven, or whatever. Like I just started digging into like everything
junkie.
I could, just a junkie. Yeah. And I was reading about, I didn't even know, Champions League finals. I read the Wikipedia for 30 consecutive Champions League finals. I read about every club in the Premier League, every club in the Championship, I just couldn't stop reading about all of this stuff. And then I started reading books and then I started watching more matches. And it was just, it was just that great feeling when like an addiction just, but kind of a fun addiction, where you're like, I was hooked on it, but in a really fun way. Cause there's this wealth of stuff. And I sort of came to it as a very, very serious sports fan, like someone who just really already loves sports. And so it was just so fun to love sports and then find a brand new one that had this amazing culture that I just never really, dipped into, you know, before that. So, that was my start.
Yeah. The culture is, you can't overstate. It's just something that really just is very much on the surface of the Premier League. I mean, it's not just surface level, but it's so visible and so beautiful. All right. This is going to be our quick fire get to know us section. We got some ask us anything questions that all just tried to get to the heart of who I am and who you are, Josh, and what we're all about as a pair.
Yeah.
So the first question here, we're gonna start to build up to the more provocative as we go. So we'll start kind of banal with that Joe guy wants to know, what are your day jobs? So I work in the book publishing industry in a marketing capacity. So a book is made and I have to make sure that people who want to read this book or buy this book are aware that it exists. And I've been doing that for my whole professional career, doing marketing in the book trade. So
yep,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah. And I work for a nonprofit. We both work in Midtown Manhattan. And I work for a nonprofit and I'm a marketing communications director for that nonprofit. And that's all I want to say about that. But that's my job. It has nothing to do with sports in any way. But we've both been in our current jobs for a long time. I actually used to be in book publishing as well, though. We didn't meet there, but I guess we're going to get to that in a second, right? Barry at Kermit says, what's the backstory of your friendship? Told this one before, Brandon, but I think we can.
Yeah, but it's just such a great story. Yeah, we we're both from Michigan and we both went to Michigan State University, but I'm a little bit older than you. So after I left Michigan State, an old colleague of mine on campus emailed me and said, hey, there's this girl in the office and she's a student and you should really meet her. I think she's really cool. So I went and I met this girl and she was taking me around East Lansing, Michigan, and she popped by this bookstore that she really liked and she introduced me to a clerk behind the counter there. Yeah. And I was like, well, that guy's kind of gruff. She's like, oh yeah, that's just my friend Josh. Like we used to date and you know, he stole a little.
Knowing her, she probably brought you in just to twist the knife even further. I would not put it. Yeah.
So smash cut. This girl had moved to New York and then we both independently of her moved to New York and she invited us to a publicity event and we just immediately became fast friends and yeah, I've kind of been inseparable ever since. And that was like more than 15 years ago now.
Yeah. Yeah. And weirdly, one of my other best friends I met through her as well, our friend Micken, which is just a strange, strange thing. So, and you and I barely ever see this girl anymore, even though we both like her, but you know, it's a funny thing. So that's the story.
It's a rare story in which I'm still friends with somebody where that all happened.
The Wrangler said, this one we've definitely talked about before, which teams do you both support and follow? So Brandon, you can go first here.
Yeah, I'm a Fulham supporter. Brian McBride is great. Full America, people refer to it. Just this incredible American pedigree that goes through the West London club. And they sort of meet me right in that sweet spot of, you know, not overachievers. I mean, a great Europa League final in the last decade or so. They're just a fun club to root for. And I think becoming a Fulham fan when they were in the midst of a great run in the Premier League, it's been interesting to still follow them as they've sort of gone up and down into the Championship. And it's actually made me an even more, I'm just more enmeshed in the coming and going of the club because I have to kind of work harder to follow the news because I don't see them play every weekend. And it's also just kind of fascinating to follow a club's journey through a division like the Championship, and that's a lot of fun. So I really enjoy rooting for a club, even that is not in the league that I follow most closely.
Oh, I mean, and you've got me hooked too. I mean, I was checking the Championship table yesterday to see how they were doing. I mean, they held on for a 1-0 win, I saw, over Blackburn Rovers.
Tied with Leeds now. We're in second place. This is great stuff at the Cottage right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're an Arsenal fan.
I'm an Arsenal fan. I mean, I honestly don't talk about it too much because I feel like I'm not as hardcore about Arsenal as some, like, it's not that I don't know, you know, what is a true fan? I don't know. I don't think you have to be like, you know, you have to have an Arsenal tattoo or whatever to be a true fan. You can be as small or large a fan as you want. But I mean, my Arsenal fandom is just, I really loved Arsene Wenger. When I was really getting into football, he was, you know, sort of the towering intellect. You know, it's kind of funny in hindsight. I mean, it's sort of, you know, he was sort of the towering intellectual figure, but you know, it's in hindsight, it's Alex Ferguson who's the one who does Harvard Business Review, you know, like, you know, or Harvard Business School talks and things like that. You know, he's the one who was kind of the genius who wore a car coat, you know, and so you couldn't quite tell. But it was, I fell in love with Arsene Wenger, his attacking style. I'd love Robin Van Persie. So that was really did it. And then I just have a really big issue with the Kroenkes, and it seems like their kind of upper management structure is sort of incompetent. And so it's just like, I have like a real hard time with it. Just like the business part of sports drives me more and more crazy. It's one of the reasons I love fantasy, right? Because you kind of get to make the sport whatever you want it to be, you know? But the business part of it drives me so nuts sometimes that it's really hard for me to be a full-on like club supporter, because like the thought of me like buying a bunch of Arsenal merch and making Stan Kroenke even richer is like, makes like, it's like painful to me, you know? So I don't know. Yeah. So, but I am an Arsenal fan. I mean, that's still the only club I root for. But I mean, I you sort of got me. I'm a little bit of a Fulham fan as well. I like Swansea a little bit. I kind of like Leicester a little bit. So yeah, there's a little bit
to love in all these clubs, all of them. Except that's Everton. True. That's all true. Right. So now we're gonna get a little more interesting here in our get to know us section. FPL Chancellor Dan wants to know, what is the one thing that you would both compliment and respectfully critique about each other's FPL styles?
Oh, wow.
So I think we definitely have remarkably different styles.
I mean, in some ways, yes and no. I mean, I think our teams can often be pretty similar. I don't think our styles are that different, really. I think that I have a little more risk tolerance than you do. A little more desire to say screw you to like the conventional logic. And I think that is like a thing that helps and hurts me depending on how my luck kind of goes in a season. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that you like on a transfer by transfer basis are really thoughtful about it. I mean, I feel like I'm much more prone to make like a bad transfer, like just a silly, ill-considered transfer. And I feel like you, outside of possibly this Jordan Henderson one that you just, Dean Henderson, what's that keeper's name?
Henderson, we'll call him.
Yeah,
His name is Dean Henderson. Yes.
Yeah. Outside of the Dean Henderson transfer you just made, in general, I think that you usually, you know, you make the right choice, and I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What else is there to say?
How disrespect me? What do you don't? What do you not?
Well,
like
I've said it before. I mean, I just think that you sometimes. I don't know. I think sometimes you can be a little predictable in your style, you know? Uh-huh. And so I think I've said this to you before.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I do like how you play FPL very much like you're playing a sport. Like, I mean, it is FPL is about sports, but it's not necessarily a sport. It's like a board game or a card game or something like that. But you approach it with this, with this energy, like you are going out and competing yourself. And I do really admire that. And I think that style does lend itself to the occasional banana skin. And
Well, you can give me you can give me a harsher criticism than that if you want. I can take it. If you've got a real doozy, you know, let's hear it. I won't carry it with me.
Gosh, I don't know. Now, then we're just going to get into things that I just don't like about you. And I don't know if we can carry that through the podcast.
Yeah, fair enough. I think you don't like how mad I get. I mean, I know that. I don't know if that's a FPL style thing or not, but you get frustrated that I get so ticked off.
And that may come back to what you were saying of how you don't think that our play styles are actually that different. And when I see you sort of blow your top and get really angry, I get frustrated maybe because it's like when Luke Skywalker goes into that cave of nightmares on Dagobah and he sees his face underneath Vader's mask. Like, I'm watching you lose it at the Black Horse and I'm like, is that me? Is that who I really am?
That is who you are. You lose it too, and you don't think you do.
Yeah, you're like more performative with it, it's where true. I am very you much a bottle it up and explode.
Sort of it's thing. True. Yeah, it's so, true.
And neither is the way to be. All right, or both are the way to be. I don't know.
I don't know either. We should probably cut it off there, though. I want Adama's body. It says, who would win in a penalty shootout between you two?
Well, I think we actually have had a penalty shootout in Prospect Park here in Brooklyn with a couple of shirts for goalposts. I think it was a draw.
Well, you actually know how to play, you know, so.
I've never seen you actually like rip into a ball, though. I think maybe we need to go find an actual goal somewhere and see if you've got some real power.
I'm a classic try-hard kind of, you know, I'm just like I have no form. Like I have no I don't know how to play correctly, you know? And so I just run every sport I play is like this. I just run as hard as I can, but like not in any particular direction or anything like that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, like playing a sport is about like, I want to like burn calorie. You know, it's like, I feel like when I'm playing a sport, I just want to like, I want to feel like I'm playing a sport. You know, I want to like run my butt off.
I have become, you know, like the older I get, like it's like my FPL play style. I tend to lean into the cerebral nature of it. And if I'm playing pickup, I get the ball and suddenly I can't make a decision. And then I just end up shielding the ball from the defender and passing it backwards, always backwards. I am like the Fabian Delph of Brooklyn pickup leagues.
That's funny. I didn't know that. I've never heard you say that before. All right, Byron. Next question, Byron Brew. I'll leave that for like your therapist, Brandon, to talk through. Byron Brew says, if you somehow ended up in a fist fight with one another, who would win? I think that's got to be me. I mean, just for sure, unpredictability, right?
Yeah. And you will do whatever it takes. You know, I think you're an honorable person in general, but above all, you want to win. In a situation like that. And
yeah. It's a pathological thing.
I would be afraid. Yeah, I would be afraid if I saw you coming for me.
It's never come to that. Outside of that one Yale trip, it's never really come to that, has it? Thank God.
Well, it didn't come to blows, actually. It was maybe some verbal sparring. All right, Josh, let's take one more question here before we hit a break, and we'll come back with a few more Ask Us Anything questions. This one from FPL JMO. He asks, since it's Oscars, it's Oscars tonight while we're recording.
Yep.
Your favorite films of the year and or who should get Best Picture. So, Josh, you and I, we like to go to movies. We like to talk about movies.
Yeah.
We did, you know, it's not high cinema, but we did a whole Star Wars episode for our Patreon members a month or so ago. So what was 2019 in cinema to you? What was the best movie? What were your favorite movies?
Yeah, well, I thought it was a pretty good year for movies in general. As you were talking, I was trying to think about like my top. So I think my favorite film of the year was probably Little Women. I think after that, I would say Parasite. And after that, I would say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then I would throw in a special nod for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is the Tom Hanks, Mr. Rogers movie, which I don't know if it got like a ton of attention or how widely it was seen, but I saw it by myself at a weeknight screening in Brooklyn, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was so great. And so that would be that's kind of like the dark horse favorite film of the year for me. But Little Women was the one I just thought was I just love that world. And I don't know. It's like it's like you hear that title and it sounds like it wouldn't be, you know, it sounds like it's like a niche kind of thing or whatever. I mean, obviously Little Women is a very famous book, but I felt like it was such a incredible world to be in. You know, I loved it. I thought you liked it a lot too, right?
Oh yeah. Little Women was, it did kind of blow me away. And the world and the story is one thing, but the craft that went into making that movie, I thought the way it was edited together, the way the story was told, Greta Gerwig deserves all the credit. But I'm not a weepy dad like you, so I didn't go see It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, right, so I can't speak to that. But we have to mention The Irishman. I think The Irishman was my favorite movie of 2019. I mean, a lot of people harp on, like, oh, it's so long. How can you sit through a movie that's so long? It's fine. I'm sure you sat through Return of the King and you were throwing popcorn in your face the entire time. The Irishman was like so.
You weren't even eating it. You were just throwing it in your face. It's
just like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. But that movie has like haunted me. Like the way it thinks about getting old, and maybe it's because I am a decrepit old person. But
40
just scenes of De Niro after he's become an old man. It's really interesting that there's a fateful phone call that De Niro makes near the end of the movie, and it's one of the most powerful performances I've seen in a while. I don't think people are talking about it enough. The best shot in that movie, do you remember the shot where De Niro is getting in the private jet to go do his thing in Detroit? Mm-hmm. And the plane he's on is pulling away, and you just see Joe Pesci alone in the car in the passenger seat.
Yeah, like his sleeping his old man like body that, right?
And big head,
yeah.
And so,
yeah.
He's just kind of staring at him like the Grim Reaper, and it's just like, wow.
I liked it. I liked Al Pacino's energy as Jimmy Hoffa. That's probably my favorite part of the movie. The part where a 78-year-old Robert De Niro is playing a 42-year-old beating someone up on the street, that did not work for me. I thought the movie was fine. I was a little unmoved by it. I did watch it all in one sitting. And I didn't hate it. I don't know. Maybe I watched it like right after. Maybe I might have even saw it at Thanksgiving night. So maybe it was like, maybe I had too much tryptophan in my system or something like that.
It's not a Christmas movie, Josh.
No.
And, it's not Home Alone.
But it was kind of like 1917, another movie that a lot of people liked that I saw. And I thought it was pretty good. But, you know, I don't know. Whatever, Brandon. No one's paying us for our film reviews, so if you disagree with us, and that's fine, you know, we're not film critics.
I still haven't seen 1917, but if 1917 gets any award that Dunkirk didn't get, then it's not justified.
I can't believe you haven't seen it. It's so up your alley. I mean, you love that kind of stuff, so it's you should definitely watch
it. I do love war stuff. It's true. All right, let's take a break so I can go watch 1917, and then we'll be right back.
All right, see you in 3 hours.
Listen, guys, have you ever seen an untucked button-down? They look bad. Why do they look so bad, though? Josh, why?
Why? I don't know. Why?
Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuck at the original button-down shirt, actually designed to be worn untucked. Unfettered, be relaxed. When I tuck my shirt in, I feel so stuffy. I just want to hang out in an untucked shirt. But they all look so bad. Thankfully, I've found the Untuckit. With more than 50 plus fit combinations, Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, slim, athletic guys of all ages. You can find your favorite Untuckit style online or check out one of their 80 brick and mortar stores. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. So whether you're shopping for the perfect present, maybe a guy or gal in your life could really look good in an Untuckit shirt, buy them an Untuckit, or maybe you're just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own. Untuckit, it's the way to go. Visit Untuckit.com and use the code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's Untuckit. I'm going to spell it for you. UNTUCKIT.com and use that promo code BLUE for 20% off.
That's right. And you and I are both Untuckit shirt owners, and we both enjoy them tremendously. That is a true fact right there. So, yes.
I will proselytize her on Tug. It is actually a fantastic shirt. Thumbs up.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Lightning round time, okay? Real lightning round this time, because it's an Ask Us Anything. We don't need to go on. We're not comparing Salah to Aubameyang here. I think we can zip through these pretty quickly. All right, so let's do this. Alex Curden says, what are you most looking forward to on your UK trip?
Oh, man. I love a match day experience, Josh. Just getting to the stadium, the vibe, people.
Yeah.
I can't wait. These three matches that we're going to. Anything else for you jump out as something you're looking forward to? The meetup, maybe, with our listeners?
The meetup, for sure. Definitely looking forward to that. I mean, it's just the excitement, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, that like as we're flying out kind of late on you know, Thursday or what, Wednesday night, I guess it is. And, you know, just that moment, like anytime, you know, anyone who's ever taken a big trip before knows that feeling. You know, you're at the airport, you're checked in, you're getting a drink or whatever, and you're just like, it's all ahead of you, you know. I don't know. So I'm looking forward to that.
Isn't that how Lonesome Dove opens?
I think it is. Yeah, basically. I think, the other answer is just Old Trafford for the Manchester Derby. I mean, that's going to be, that feels like a real once-in-a-lifetime experience. So definitely looking forward to that one.
Definitely. All right. Next question is from Double Walrus. What are your go-to shots on a night out? Okay, so yeah. I'm not encouraging anyone who's coming to the London meetup to buy us shots, but say,
yeah, well, because you're a Goldschlager guy, Brandon. I always have been, always will be.
My worst time ever with the sauce was with Goldschlager, and that's a true fact. So don't come near me with that.
I mean, we're really only talking about whiskey and tequila here, right? I mean, I guess there's vodka too. I never shoot vodka though. I don't like to shoot. I don't really like vodka that much in general, to be honest. So I would go whiskey, but tequila shots are kind of fun, right? Those are like, I feel like those go down smooth. They almost go down easier than whiskey.
I agree. Yeah. Whiskey, I feel like it's just a sidecar that comes with a beer chaser. Mm-hmm. If you want to do a shot and you want to party.
Yeah.
It's tequila.
Yeah. If you want to feel like you're doing a shot. Yeah.
If you're hanging out with some Russian mobster who cries like blood tears, then I will definitely do vodka shots with that.
Yeah. If you got to like seal a deal by doing a shot or whatever. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Marvin the Gooner says, what are some of your favorite books? Brandon, let's just pick one each here. What's a favorite book of yours?
Okay. I think you've read this one, but The Cement Garden by Ian McEwan.
Yeah.
I think I first read it in E.L. Ameron's 20th Century British Literature course. But
yeah,
that book, it's got some weird stuff in it, so it's hard for me to sort of like shout from the mountaintops. I love this book that has like kids burying their parents and some weird incest things going on, but it's beautifully written. I love it. I've read it many times. It's just right. It's for me.
Well, the book that I often think of as my favorite book is a book called Far From the Tree by Andrew Solomon. It's this kind of doorstopper book. It's all about people who are born differently. So it sort of talks about people who were born dwarves or deaf or there's sort of part of it's physical stuff. Part of it is social stuff that it gets very intense, and it's an amazing book. But so that doesn't feel very appropriate for a fantasy podcast though. And so Brandon, because I kind of impugn 1917, I will also do a bonus pick here where I will recommend the entire 20 volumes of the Patrick O'Brien series. Okay. So I may not have loved 1917, but I'm steeped in the Napoleonic Wars as a result of the Patrick O'Brien books. They are a rip-roaring good read. You do not have to know anything about the sea to enjoy them. You just let that stuff kind of wash over you. I still don't really know what I don't even know. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff. A mizzenmast. I cannot tell you what a mizzenmast is, Brandon. I'm sorry. Some things I'll never learn. But that's a really fun series. You actually need to read that series sometime. I think you'd like it a lot.
You've recommended it many times. Actually, just finished this book, The Face of Battle by John Keegan, and he talks about these three major battles throughout history and what it's like to be a soldier in these conflicts. The first is Agincourt Court, and then the second one is what I'm blanking on the name, like the final battle for Waterloo. Talks about Waterloo and then the Somme. Mm-hmm. So definitely a fascinating time for warfare back then.
For sure. Jeff Petter, longtime friend of the pod, says, who were your favorite bands and artists when you were young, and are they still now?
Certainly not now. I was a total Kurt Cobain nerd when I was like in junior high at school. Yeah. And
but if Unplugged in New York comes on, I mean, you're loving that, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't dislike the music, but it's, you know, there's music of your youth that you just, you know, through no fault of it, you just grow past it.
Yeah, you mostly listen to choral music now. So for you, it's different. Exactly.
The only music I listen to is just me humming to myself in a silent room. That's my favorite. My favorite music are the tunes that I just make up when I'm doing the dishes. Now, Not anymore. I guess I'm just become like a total hipster with music at this point, like the Tame Impalas of the world and all that. I went through a huge Bjork phase too. That was probably the longest, most drawn out phase of my life.
Well, mine was Dave Matthews in the 90s. So that was definitely that is definitely not a band I listen to anymore. I mean, I love the Beatles. And I then as a kid, I don't really listen to them that much anymore. It's funny because with my daughter, I thought she would get really into the Beatles, but she actually loves the Rolling Stones. And so our house has become a Rolling Stones house where we just play Stone songs all the time. So that's kind of funny. I was not expecting that. I mostly listen to a lot of country music now, like 70s country. Like that's like far and away what I listen to more than almost anything else. I don't know how that happened. That was not anything I listened to when I was younger, but
you're real country, Josh.
Yeah, real. I'm outlaw country, man. Yeah, the Waylon and Willie and the boys. Okay.
All right. Sam Danby, our friend in Norway, has a good question. I thought, what annoys you daily more than anything else? Mine is people not indicating on roundabouts. And I don't know if you saw me tweeting about this the other day, and I wasn't sure if it was 100% understood, but I have this pet peeve, particularly in the office. Like a coworker will instant message you, like lots of offices now, you communicate through these, you know, faceless instant messaging contraptions. And mm-hmm. somebody just sends you a quick message saying, hi, and then there's nothing. And the expectation is what? I'm supposed to say mm-hmm. hi back?
Right.
Like you clearly want something. The reason why you were chatting me is because you want something. So just tell me what you want. Mm-hmm. This formality of like, hi, oh, hi, how are you? No. So I'm all about direct message etiquette and protocol right now.
Fair. That is very, I like how specific that is. I mean, a lot of things annoy me every day, but the one that annoyed me today when I was flying back to New York and annoyed me when I was flying to Florida to see my mom as well, this is I've been traveling for business a lot. And so you don't see this as often on kind of like the early morning business flights, but we were flying to Florida in Orlando, which is like very, you know, very Disney, you know, Disney's right there. Are the people who, when the plane lands, will the seatbelt sign goes off, will run like four rows up to get in line to get out of the plane, which I think is like mm-hmm. unconscionably rude. I was like, I was so like scandalized. Like I thought it happened on both the flight to Florida and the flight back. And I was like, the rudeness, the cheek on these people, Brandon, to jump uh-huh. rows yeah. and stand in someone else's row. It's not like you just get to like run out of the airplane, right? You just go and take up someone else's space, you know? I could not believe how rude that was. It was like, listen, you're in row 27. I'm sorry that you booked your flight too late or whatever, but like you cannot just run 12 rows ahead. So rude.
There are plenty of federal laws on flying. So why isn't this one of those federal laws? I don't understand.
Yeah. So have you seen this before too? Because it is really great.
Yeah, I have. My assumption is usually, you've never flown before. But right. That's me being naive that people are just people are just crazy, naturally.
Yeah, exactly. All right, a couple more questions to go here.
You just have to come to accept that.
Yeah, and then we're going to get really into our hardcore fantasy discussion here, Brandon. So let's that may have to wait until next Sunday. A couple more questions to go here, Brandon. Mike DiPietro says, if you could only have two apps on your phone, what would they be? Not including phone, messaging, mail, and other standard apps. I said, I want apps you would actually have to go to the app store to get. Let's each pick one app.
It's complicated. I'm a kind of an app, I'm app crazy. Like I just have, I think
you're more app crazy than I am. Yeah.
And it's hard to pick one because so many apps are so useful in my life. I mean, the one that I probably use most that is most relevant to this podcast is just my cable TV app. So I can watch Premier League matches when I'm not at home. I can watch them on the fly or watch them at work. That's definitely the most useful, but let's be real. It's the Google Maps app. How am I ever getting anywhere without Google Maps?
Yeah, Google Maps up there. Twitter's up there. Just to name something a little off the kind of normal route, I would say the Athletic app, the Athletic website app is super useful. And I don't know. It's kind of fun because I am, as you said before, hyper competitive. And so I will often get right now I'm mad at Michigan State's basketball team for being so bad. And so I'm just not reading any Michigan State sports stuff, right? Or like any basketball stuff, like anything basketball related reminds me of how bad Michigan State is. And so I have to I have to go away from it. So, and the Athletic, it's like any sport you can just dip into. They've got lots of great long reads, and their Premier League coverage is actually, this is not a paid thing, by the way. It sounds like I'm like getting paid to say this, but I actually just really enjoy the app. And this Joe Posnanski is one of my favorite sports writers, is doing this thing on there right now where he's counting down the 100 greatest baseball players of all time. And it's just one essay a day. So it's like 100 days and then just going up. And these essays are incredibly discursive, and he goes all over the place, and they're rambling and funny, and they're wonderful. And it's like, yes, this is what I love about sports writing. Like, you know, it's just like, it's so random. Like, who, you know, it's not for any reason other than just to be fun and interesting, uh-huh. You know, and entertaining. And so, but I love having that where I'm just like, I'm just going to try to find some sport on here that is not my key sport and just sort of find something fun and interesting on there. And so that's become kind of my go-to for that.
All right. Van Dyke's to watch out for. They want to know, what are each of your current ideal pet situations? Do we both have our ideal pet situation? You don't have a pet.
I don't.
I feel like that's ideal for you.
Well, I don't know. My wife is allergic to cats and dogs, so that is ideal from a health standpoint. I mean, there's a secret part of me that thinks a dog would be fun, but I didn't really grow up with a lot of animals, and so I'm not really an animal person, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I love dogs, but my wife and I, we have a cat. Our cats, you know, we've had her for 7 years, and I'm just like totally devoted to her. It's not the other way around, to be sure, but we talk all the time about how we really like dogs, but it would be insane for us to have a dog instead of a cat because they are so much work.
Yeah, a lot of work.
You know, if you're commuting a lot and you're working a lot, it's, you know, you're kind of doing that dog a disservice. So I hope one day I'll have the freedom to do that.
Next question is from Chris Daycare. We got two questions to go here. Chris Daycare says, is a hot dog sandwich? I'm just going to go ahead and say no. This is one of the great online questions. I don't even have an interesting answer to it. So I'm just going to go ahead and say no, it is not a sandwich. I don't see it as a sandwich. It will not be a sandwich ever for me.
Whenever I see this question come up, I think about being in Boulder, Colorado many, many years ago, and I was really hungry, and there was a hot dog cart, and I was going through this phase where a plain hot dog, I don't want anything on there, no ketchup, no mustard. So I say to the hot dog vendor, I just say, I want a hot dog straight up. So he gives me the hot dog bun, and he put the hot dog sort of vertically in the bun. So it was kind of like the hot dog and the bun were perpendicular to each other. He thought he was being very clever because it was straight up, you see. But a hot dog is a sandwich because, you know, it's meat between two slices of bread. So don't complicate it.
Fair enough.
It's like a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square.
Yeah.
A hot dog is a sandwich, but a sandwich is not a hot dog.
Okay. I think that's maybe I'm convinced. I don't know. The last question comes from Frederick, who says, a perfect last question. He says, where did the name Lord Sorloth come from?
There was an episode where we were talking about new transfers, and I think you were like, have you seen this guy, Alexander Sorloth?
Yeah.
And I think you were just totally taken with how bizarre the name was. Well, I mean, we're just woefully mispronouncing it. I think it's technically pronounced Sorlot if you're Norwegian. We like Sorlot.
That's like the Doherty thing. Yeah. I mean, it's just funny because his name is Sorloth, which sounds like Sloth from the Goonies movie, but then he looks like Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. And so the sort of weird, you know, Alexander Sorloth, it just sounds like a medieval knight or someone who owns a small, like, it sounds like that could be like a character in Hamlet or something, you know, the Sorloth Estate.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if there was a villain in a Shakespeare play, he would be named Lord Sorloth.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. So it turned out that it was kind of negative at first, but then we just started to champion him because he would just like, you know, I mean, this has been kind of a theme under Roy Hodgson. Crystal Palace have struggled to score goals. And then it was kind of like free the Lord, you know, free Lord Sorloth. That sort of became our rallying cry. I think he just scored his 20th goal while on loan this season. So,
it's absolutely crazy.
It's crazy. And, you know, but Benteke got his one today. So now they're almost – They're almost level, or yesterday.
They're almost even.
Yeah, almost even. So yeah, I hope we see more of the Lord Soloth next year. That's my hope. And Brandon, that is the pod. I hope you enjoyed it. Obviously a little bit different. It just didn't feel like it was worth anybody's time to do a serious fantasy podcast when so much is up in the air, including when these matches are going to take place. And we already previewed this game week that it hasn't even taken place yet. So anyway, hope you enjoyed it. We'll go back to your regularly scheduled fantasy podcast next Sunday. But thank you for listening.
Absolutely. And if you want to learn more about Lord Soloth, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, where one of our supporter tiers is the Lord Soloth tier. Lots of great things on offer there for anyone who wants to support the Always Cheating pod. We've got an extra bonus pod each week for our Patreon supporters at the Lord Soloth tier and above. Our Slack forum, t-shirts, extra leagues, all sorts of cool stuff. So, yeah, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating for more on that. And we'll sign off with our producer Patreon thank yous. Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T., Victor Forberg, Skoging, Paul Hertzig, Kaya, Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, the Big Gaffer, Bob Askoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Peter Bodichtel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostel, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chinblur, Jacobson, Frederick Keane, Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, and James Conroy. Josh, Always Cheating is all over the internet. Where can we be found?
Yeah, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And please do subscribe and review it if you can find the time, because it helps us find more listeners and build our audience. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, and so many other places. New apps every day, Brandon. It's not just the Athletic app, which I gave a massive free advertisement to earlier for no particular reason. You can follow us on Twitter.
I wonder what would happen if you searched for Always Cheating on Google Maps.
That'd be fair.
I'm going to try that when we get done with this podcast.
Good question. You can follow us on Twitter. We're twitter.com/http://www.twitter.com/hailcheaters. Instagram, we're at hailcheaters. Facebook at always, or facebook.com/alwayscheating. Email us hailcheaters@gmail.com, and visit the website alwayscheating.com to find episode links to all our social media networks, a way to contact us, and a lot more. Good luck to everybody in the rest of game week 26. There is a lot to come, a lot to talk about. I look forward to having stuff to talk about next week's podcast. So thank you for listening.
Yeah. And fingers crossed for everyone out there on Captain Aguero. We hope things work out. I mean,
yeah,
we kind of don't hope that things work out for you, because we're a couple of solid captainers over here, but you know, let's be kind.
Yeah.
Let's be kind.
Having just gone through the Mane triple captain thing, I think my empathy is actually pretty high right now. So I know the pain you're in, and at the very least, I want them to announce when the replayed fixture is going to happen, right? That will at least give, there'll be some closure, you know, one way or the other, we'll know what's happening. Right. Yeah.
Right. All right. Poku forever, as we say.
Hail cheaters. Bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.